Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, one more thing going on itsafreecountry.org. We have an article about the ambivalence of Connecticut voters in the Blumenthal versus McMahon Senate race in Connecticut. And we have this week's Wonk Wars question that we want you to get involved in. And that question is the Tea Party good for America? We have two guest bloggers weighing in, and you can join that conversation. Is the Tea Party good for America? Read the blog posts and chime in yourself at itsafreecountry.org. We will do the on-air discussion on that topic on Thursday, and everything you write between now and Thursday will feed it. So join our Wonk Wars community at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Well, New York City and the starving artist image may go hand in hand in some minds, but our next guests and the city's Economic Development Corporation are making an effort to help along some of today's emerging artists. Brian Tate and Danny Simmons are co-founders of Full Spectrum, a group that organizes panels and discussions between artists and other thinkers. They are collaborating with the city to run a new contest for emerging artists called Curate NYC that we'll tell you about now and how you can enter if you're an artist yourself. Brian Tate, welcome, and Danny Simmons, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Thanks, Brian. How are you doing?
Tell us about the Curate NYC contest. Brian, what is it? How can an artist enter?
Entering is pretty simple. You just go to our website, www.curatenyc.org, and there's an easy submit your entry, step one and two, and you're done. It's one image per artist, and you have to be a New York City-based visual artist to enter. I should hasten to point out that it's that there is a juried component to it. We have a panel of 10 phenomenal curators who are going to look at all of the work. But the fact that they are looking at all the work is, in fact, the major one of the major pieces of this entire show. They're going to look at every entry. So whether you're selected for exhibition or not, our curators are going to see every piece of work.
And to give you a little more information, artists, first thing you need to know is probably there is a deadline, which is October 6th, to upload an image onto the competition's website, which is curatenyc.org, curatenyc.org. 150 winners will be chosen by this jury of 9 curators. Images will be printed of the winning entries on 5x6 postcards, displayed at the Rush Arts Gallery in Chelsea or at 3 city-owned spaces on the Lower East Side, Harlem, and Staten Island for 10 days each. According to the website, there are 175 entries so far. So, Danny, this is a lot better than the New York State Lottery. If there are only
So far.
175 entries, you could have 150 winners.
Now, you know, we have until October 6th, so, you know, people tend to do everything at the last moment, and we have such incredible outreach. We have Paula working on it, Brian's working on it, I'm working on it, Judith's working on it. We have a whole staff working on outreach and trying to reach the artist community. So, you know, the 170, it doesn't indicate where we're going to end up at all.
I'm sure not. And we know that artists, among everybody else, work on deadline.
Yeah, we definitely work on deadline. So people have other projects. But I've talked to a lot of people this weekend, and people are saying, I'm going to get on there. Everywhere I go, I'm promoting this
thing. And Danny, why do it this way? Why do art as a contest?
Well, you know, the major component of this, as Brian was saying, is the website. We wanted to get the art in front of some really important curators, and we needed to have an exhibition. We had to narrow it down. The largest number that we could come up with was 150, and we're going to put them on postcards for that reason so we can include it. I tend not to like contests, but, you know, we're going to have so many people to be involved in and look to be a part of this project that we had to narrow it somehow. So, you know, it just ended up being a contest. But with art, I'm not really a big fan of contests, but this is a way to get it done.
And listeners, if you're an artist, we can take some phone calls right now. What do you think are the biggest obstacles facing especially emerging artists in New York City? There's, of course, the, you know, historic cliche of the starving artist, but there was also the historic cliche of New York being an incubator for the arts of so many kinds. that lead the country or lead the world. So is this a good time to be an artist in New York City? If not, what do you need? The city government is involved in this, so you have people's ears at this moment. Artists, call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Brian Tate, what do you think about the obstacles? Is this one of the reasons you're doing this, because of the economy or unique struggles in the art world of this particular moment of other kinds? Is that part of the impetus here?
Well, there are three big reasons why we're doing this. And although, Danny, you may add, you know, reasons four and five. But, you know, number one, artists could never get enough exposure, especially to curators, art critics, collectors. Artists in New York City are no different than artists anywhere else. It's just that we have so many artists here in New York City. And a big impetus here was, let's try to get as much work in front of folks as we can. And not only in front of curators in New York City, but of course through the website, they'll be seen by curators around the country and overseas. The second thing is to promote New York City as a hub of great new creative talent, which the website, of course, will help to do. And the third thing is to, I think that one of the goals that EDC has had is to show off some of the great properties that it manages, that the city owns, in neighborhoods and in boroughs throughout New York City. And by showing at these locations in Staten Island and Lower East Side and East Harlem, that'll help to do that too.
Want to add to that?
Yeah, because we're targeting emerging artists, many of these young people or people who are not part of the mainstream art world don't really know how to get their stuff seen out there. Mm-hmm. And this is a vehicle to do that. Traditionally, a lot of the things that I've been involved in over the years, and Brian also, is to make sure that people who are not readily included in the mainstream have a chance to be seen and heard by an audience. So, you know, this is a really good vehicle for us to push that agenda, to have people who are not really seen. And emerging artists fit right into that. But there are so many people creating art that's outside of the mainstream that this is a type of situation that we've created that anybody can be a part of it. Anybody has the same access to the curators as opposed to, you know.
Since you're defining this as a contest for emerging artists, are there any qualifications? Do you need to be a professional artist? Do you need to be not too famous and not too successful? Or who can enter?
Well, it's...
You start with that, man.
I'll give it a start. You know, we define emerging as artists who are seeking greater recognition and exposure among curators, art critics, collectors, and audiences. Emerging is a pretty amorphous term. The way we've defined it for this project is that way, to include as many artists as we possibly can.
You know, it's largely a self-defined thing, too. Mm-hmm. Artists, you know, when you look at... So one of the things that we batted around a whole lot, and I've consulted a number of people who've been in the arts a lot longer than me, if that's possible, is, you know...
That's possible.
I'm getting old, man. Is where does emerging start? Does it start when you're in college and you're looking to be an artist? Does it start in graduate school? So we had to bat that around, and we came up with that if you're trying to get your work publicly seen, you know, if you're making attempts to be in galleries, you're making attempts to put your work out there in the public, then you're an emerging artist wherever you are at in your career.
Let's take a phone call. Barbara in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, and New York City will never be the breeding ground it once was for artist types, because the housing situation is outrageous, because there's been no affordable housing here. Places like West Beth that, you know, supported, you know, subsidized artists, and it'll never be that again. And it's so sad that we have to institutionalize it. Let's just be honest here. That's over.
Guys?
I agree with you. New York City, on that accord, New York City does not have the housing, the studio space, anything. I mean, everything's being built up. This is just a measure to try to help with the inclusion of artists that are left. People are moving out of New York City, and it's an interesting phenomenon that we have. But a lot of people still see New York City as a place to come to be seen. We still have a robust gallery scene. We still have, you know, a robust underground art scene that's still happening. Artists, though, are not really able to afford to live here anymore, and I certainly agree with you on that.
We have a news story coming in from WNYC's Ozzie Paber, our political reporter, also the AP reporting, that Rick Lazio will announce in about 10 minutes that he will not actively campaign for governor on the Conservative Party line. So, again, that announcement expected in about 10 minutes, but the Associated Press and WNYC's political reporter Ozzie Paber are reporting in advance of that. Their sources tell them that Rick Lazio will not campaign on the Conservative Party line, which he has for governor, so it looks like it will be mano a mano, Cuomo, Paladino. And there are some other minor party lines, and we will invite those candidates on. Charles Barron is one of them. There is a something called the Tea Party line, which is not Carl Paladino, that has a candidate. So there are other third-party candidates out there, but no Rick Lazio, apparently, in the gubernatorial race that's just being reported right now. A far cry from talking about emerging artists.
Well, you know. News is news.
Exactly. News is news. Danny Simmons got it. And Brian Tate from the project called Curate NYC, and they're the co-founders of Full Spectrum, which is a group that organizes panels and discussions between artists and other thinkers. They're involved with the city's Economic Development Corporation on this contest for emerging artists to submit your work by October 6th to their website, and they will choose 150 winners from the judgment of a jury, and those 150 works or winners' works will be displayed at various places around town. Now, there is a little bit of a controversy, I gather, around the display, because you're going to display the work on postcards.
That's right.
And some artists are saying, you know, hey, maybe I made a whole wall-size painting, or maybe I've got a sculpture that I'd like people to actually see in 3D, and all you're promising me is a postcard.
Well, you know, the big thing that we're promising is that you're going to get your work out, you know, across a vast spectrum of curators and what have you, whether you're selected for exhibition or not. But in terms of the exhibition, you know, I hasten to point out that two of the hottest and hippest art projects in New York City that have been going on for some time are both postcard-driven and postcard-oriented. And it happens that two of our curators are associated with those projects. One is Harlem Postcards that the Studio Museum does every year. And the other is Postcards from the Edge that Visual Aids does every year. Now, for Postcards from the Edge, I believe, Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, what they do is that they invite artists, and there's a top, you know, the top tier of artists who do this, who create new work on 4x6 postcards, which are then auctioned off. And for postcards, for Harlem Postcards, what Studio Museum does is that the artists that they are associated with donate works which are then reproduced as postcards, which become a great marketing and promotional vehicle for the Studio Museum and for Harlem at large.
Well, you know, I was involved in both projects as a curator with Visual Aids and as an artist at the Harlem. But at Harlem, what I did was they told me to go around and take Harlem images and then create art from that. And I took some R. Crumb images and superimposed them in Harlem scenes and did that. And it was kind of cool. Visual Aids, I was a judge, and I looked at pretty much at thousands of slides and, you know, picked the slides, the images that compelled me the most, and they created postcards from that. But, you know, I can understand somebody being disappointed at it. Or not happy. I don't know if they'd be disappointed with having their work digitized down to it. But, you know, we're trying to be as inclusive as possible.
Yeah.
And we have space limitations. It's not like we have a whole museum anywhere to show 150 large pieces of work. And so, we could have said, okay, we'll pick 10 pieces.
That's right.
And show them someplace. But we picked 150 because I thought that would be, and Brian thought, and we talked about this for a very long time.
Yeah.
That, you know, we wanted people's work out there more than we wanted to actually put actual work up there.
Let me get one more caller in here. Nija in Midtown. You're on WNYC. Hello, Nija.
Oh, hi, Brian. Thanks. It feels like you're like a part of my family. You're in my house all the time.
I'm glad to hear it. Well, now you're... Danny Simmons is giving me a curious look right now.
Oh, no.
We weren't going to explore with them.
Anyway, right to the point because we're almost out of time.
Okay. Here, I don't know your names offhand. I just immediately jumped on the phone.
Go ahead. It's Brian Tate and Danny Simmons. Go ahead.
Brian and
Tate.
Danny.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
I have curated and... I'm an artist myself. I write some fantasy. I've done a lot of things. I'm now 41. I'm a native New Yorker. And I've lived on the Lower East Side, and most of my life, either I crashed on the floor of friends' apartments or have, you know, had different apartments from time to time. Now I've moved out because it's too expensive, and I'm up in the Bronx.
So is this just a thank you to them for doing something like this?
Well, it's a thank you, but here's my question. Can someone explain why did this take so long? Like, why is the city jumping on this now? Our vibrancy as a city, as artists, I feel is half dead.
Nija, I'm sorry to say I have to leave it there, but you know I'm coming over for lunch. So.
I just want to say, you know, Curate NYC also picks up on a lot of projects that Danny and I have done through Full Spectrum and otherwise that we've done collaboratively. Project Diversity Brooklyn, where we had 600 entries and showed works by 200 some artists. Project Diversity Queens.
And full works.
Full works, that's right. Yeah. The Black Madonna Art Exhibition, a show we did here, Voices from the Boroughs. You know, so while this is the first time that we've done Curate with NYC, these types of projects have been happening quite a bit, only by us.
Could competition for art happen and create stars on an even bigger level, sort of like Project One Runway style, American Idol style? You know, Bravo just had Work of Art, the next great artist. You're shrugging, Dan. We have 15 seconds.
I've said this many times. I'm not really trying to make an art star. I'm trying to get people's voices heard to people. I'm also trying to bring audiences. And Brian and I's main mandate is bring artists to audiences.
And we have to leave it there. Again, you have until October 6th, artists, to upload an image onto the competition's website, which is curatenyc.org. Brian Tate and Danny Simmons, co-founders of Full Spectrum. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the project. Yeah. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Go check out the latest about Rick Lazio dropping out of the race on itsafreecountry.org.